Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Coast to Coast. I'm Carol Masser.
And I'm Corey Johnson. We're here every day bringing you the latest news in the world of business and finance.
And the most interesting stories in global technology from Silicon Valley and beyond, powered by our more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries.
You can download Coast to Coast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Bloomberg.com. You can also listen to our radio show weekdays at 2 o'clock Eastern only on Bloomberg Radio.
Whistle while you work.
Yes, indeed, everybody. Hiring picking up in the month of January. Wages also rising at the fastest annual pace since the recession ended. Although, as our Michael McKee mentioned earlier, 1 month does not make a trend, so we need to keep an eye. But nonetheless, an upbeat report. The economy's steady move toward full employment extending into 2018. Chris Liu is back with us, senior fellow at the University of Virginia Miller Center, former deputy secretary of labor under President Obama. He joins us once again on the phone from Virginia. Chris, great to have you back with Corey and myself. Take a look at this report and make some sense of it for us. Is this, are we at full employment, almost there?
I don't know, but this was a very positive report. You know, after 8 years of a recovery, anytime you have a monthly jobs number that starts with a 2, you should be very happy about it. And I think, as others have talked about, the wage gains are important. And maybe we're finally starting to see that pickup that we've long suspected. But as you rightly pointed out, 1 month doesn't make a trend. The other important data point I would mention is that in January, 18 states raised their minimum wage, as well as 20 cities. So about 4.5 million people got wage increases because of higher minimum wages. So I'm going to want to see a couple more months to see if this wage pickup is more consistent, because we've had these blips in previous years. But overall, this was a very positive jobs report.
You know, Chris, even as we're talking right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now down 503 points. It's 1.9%. The S&P down 1.6% on the day, and we are keeping an eye on the markets. I want our listeners to know we're not going to let it escape us. But I wonder, from your standpoint, you know, we finally see a little tick up in wages, which should be really good news for every business in the country, and the market takes a complete header.
Can I connect some dots? You know, it is funny when good economic news leads to drops in the market. Look, I mean, obviously it's based on a concern about increasing inflation and more interest rates down the pike. I think I'm not a market analyst, but it's probably fair to say that the rise we've seen over the last year probably was a bit stretched given what the economic numbers were. So this might be sort of a legitimate pullback. But, you know, the underlying fundamentals of where the economy are right now are strong.
Okay, so if you were back in the White House and the president came to you and he said, "Hey, we had a good jobs report, but what's going on with the market?" You would say,
"Well, I would have said there's a reason why Barack Obama never tweeted about the stock market. The stock market goes up and the stock market goes down, mm-hmm. and it's a very imprecise measure of how the economy is, and it's better to look at the numbers here. And you know, one of the sort of interesting things in these numbers was the tick up in African American unemployment rate, and it did tick down. President Trump was touting this number for the last month, but those of us that spend time looking at these numbers know that the number of people, the number of establishments you're surveying is relatively small. And then when you start slicing and dicing by demographic groups, you see these pretty significant jumps from month to month. And that's why it's better to look at the long-term trend. And, you know, overall, look, the market is up. The economy is doing well. But there's a reason why you sort of stick with the fundamentals instead of getting too hung up on day-to-day or week-to-week.
To that, talk to me about the trend in African-American employment in the U.S. right now.
Well, it has consistently gone down over the last 8 years, the way that the overall unemployment rate has. You know, it was, I think, around 18 or 19% at the height of the recession. It's at 7.7% now, which is great. It's up from 6.8% last month. But as I said, this is a very unstable series of numbers. But what is the significant part is that the unemployment rate for whites is 3.5%. So while 7.7% is very good, there's still a significant disparity, and there's broader societal reasons that really need to be addressed.
There's some fascinating discussion this morning on Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg Radio. I was listening to Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow, and they had on Nouriel Roubini, and they also talked with Alan Krueger of Princeton, and, you know, talking about how you can have full employment, be at full employment, but you can still have inequalities within an economy, which is kind of where we are.
Well, it's absolutely where we are. I mean, you know, and I think to the full employment question, it's important to look at labor force participation. I think we're still at around 62% of the people, 62.7% of the people of working age in the workforce. So there's a significant number of people sitting on the sidelines. But even those people who have entered the workforce, the wage gains that we've seen haven't been evenly distributed. There tend to be more towards higher wage jobs. And certainly when you look at stock market gains, only 50% of Americans hold either individual stocks or in a mutual fund or 401k. So the gains out of the stock market aren't hitting most Americans evenly as well. And so you can see, when you aggregate the numbers, they look good. But when you start slicing and dicing, they tell a different story.
Indeed. And you know, at what point should President Trump be actually taking credit for this? I mean, is this still, you know, we're a year into the presidency. Is now, are these his numbers now? When are they his numbers?
Well, look, I mean, I think it is.
And I want to give you all the credit I can. Don't get me wrong.
No. It's an interesting dynamic. You know, the old saying was it's the economy, stupid. And I think what we're starting to see is actually it's not the economy. It's hard to imagine economic numbers like this and compared to what President Trump's poll numbers are. And I think you're really starting to see a disassociation between what the president is saying and doing and how people feel about the economy. And it's sort of a different thing right now. And it'll be interesting to see whether the numbers start to come together over the next year.
All right. We're going to leave it on that note. Chris, thank you so much. Chris Liu is senior fellow at the University of Virginia Miller Center, former Deputy Secretary of Labor under President Obama.
There was a lot of love for the iPhone X in the last quarter, and yet going forward, not so much. Alistair Barr joins us right now, Bloomberg News tech reporter and editor, as well as Bob O'Donnell, who is a president of Technalysis Research, with a look at what we learned about Apple's iPhone business in the quarterly numbers yesterday and the subsequent earnings call. Alistair, what was the news?
iPhone X didn't do as well as expected. There's a term called the super cycle, which happens when they release a big new phone and a lot of people are supposed to upgrade, a lot of new customers are supposed to happen and everything's supposed to be rosy. And that was pronounced dead this morning by some analysts.
Is it just, I don't know, maybe the next one will be a big deal? Like, what's going on here?
I like to fall back on my very scientific study of my wife's habits in situations like this. She bought the first iPhone.
She's studying your habits too, you know. That's how that works.
Yeah, she was big into the first iPhone, bought all the new ones, especially the bigger one when the iPhone 6 came out. She doesn't care that a poop emoji speaks.
You know what? She sounds like me because I too bought the 6. I like the big one. The 10, I like the Animojis, I've got to say, and I play with them on my husband's phone. But it wasn't enough for me to say, I got to get rid of this phone. Bob O'Donnell, come on in on this. You follow the tech sector too, Apple very closely. Should we be concerned? As a guest last night, Mr. Galloway, Scott Galloway, said, you know, we are seeing a like seismic shift going from Apple being the one everybody's talking about to Amazon.
Well, it's a great point, Carol. And look, the notion of the super cycle, I think, is frankly proving to be outdated. The super cycle happened once. It happened when we went to big iPhones, and that's it. And there's been this expectation that it would happen again and again, and it's just not happening because people wanted to make the move to the big phone. But once you're at the big phone, don't care as much. We've seen lifetimes extend from 2-ish years to 3-ish years. And when you're in a market that's essentially built completely on refresh, and that we saw this in the PC market several years ago, same thing happened, right? When lifetimes extend, markets are saturated, they start to peak and then to decline. And I think that's the monumental shift, is that we've ended the era of big smartphone growth, and the impact of that is huge. And yes, we start to think about other companies, other devices, other categories, because now smartphones are like, yeah, it's kind of old news. And I think that's part of the fundamental shift that he was probably referring to.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because but not just this phone, pretty much any new phone has had more than one quarter, Bob, where it has sold big, and this looks like it might have just one.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly right. And so in this particular case, Corey, the other issue is, you know, there's been questions from the beginning. You have a $1,000 phone. It's easy to say, oh, well, it's only a few dollars more a month, and et cetera. Look, it's still $1,000 for a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew there was a group of people who were going to pay for it, even if it was $2,000. But we went through all those people in the first quarter. Now, regular people who are like, okay, I have to make this decision, and I'm not sure I'm willing to spend that $1,000. And I think that's the secondary concern, particularly around iPhone X, is, you know, what happens?
So, Alistair, so what's the conversations that you imagine are now going on inside Apple following this quarterly release and following the market reaction and the discussions that are happening right now where people are saying, God, you know, I mean, Apple still sells a lot of stuff, but everybody's wondering, maybe they're, you know, maybe they don't have anything else that's going to be, you know, driving revenues down the road substantially.
I think there's probably two things being discussed. One is we better come up with our next big hit, and there are plans in the works for that to happen. You're thinking about augmented reality, an actual wearable glasses headset that actually people might use. That has some great promise. But also, Tim Cook didn't sound that distressed yesterday after the results came out. And I think a lot of what's happening is Apple's shifting to they have 1.3 billion devices out there right now. They're trying to make money from those, and there's lots of ways to make money from those, even if they don't sell a lot of new devices going forward. So that is going to provide a lot of profit going forward.
And yet, numbers down on a year-over-year basis, but the value of this phone, the price of this phone, I should say, Bob O'Donnell helped them put up a big print in terms of the revenue for this phone. And maybe they can sell less and make more of this phone if they can hold the price here.
Yeah,
I think you're right, Corey. Well, sorry, go ahead. Alistair?
I was going to just mention that in a smartphone market that's falling slightly now, you basically have two choices, right? You have a really expensive product, and you hope your revenue goes up, or you go for mass volume like Xiaomi and price it low.
And Bob, come on in on that question that Corey asked.
Yeah, no, I think the issue is, Alistair's right, and the issue is I think we've peaked out on these high end phones, and again, this is not just an Apple problem. This is an industry wide problem. Smartphones on the high end, because I think we have hit that peak, and that does change things. And look, they're very smart people at Apple. They knew at some point the smartphone growth was going to end, and that's why they've been building out the services business. That's why they talked about the 1.3 users, you know, and it's true that there are definitely ways they're going to try and make money off that through services. Eventually, yes, I think they'll try and have another hit product. The issue is I don't think they have one near term. I think it's going to be a few years before they have a big one. So I think the one challenge Apple faces is they knew this was going to happen. This is just happening a little sooner than they expected. So can they turn the crank quickly enough? But look, they're still printing money, guys. They're making huge amounts of money, and let's not forget they have that huge cash pile that in one fell swoop that could dramatically change things by, you know, buying a Netflix or a Tesla.
But they're not going to do that, Bob. This company, I mean, they just don't do deals like that.
I get it, Corey, and you're right. But my point is that potential is always there, and they've never had to even think about it before because they've had this gravy train of smartphone growth and value. And there's for a while, let's be clear, right? This doesn't fall off a cliff. If anything, that we see a modest decline, but it does start to drive different conversation within the halls of Apple, I would presume, around how they adjust and move this services strategy forward a little bit more quickly.
And Alistair, if I'm an investor in Apple, I mean, this is an $821 billion market cap company, and I understand revenues are like $264 billion projected for this year, but when it's a company where the iPhone is the bulk of it, you know, am I willing to really pay up for that market cap at this point when I'm a little worried that the main product may be running into a little bit of trouble? Just got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I was looking before I came on at the chart and especially the market cap, and I think they've lost about $80 or $90 billion in market cap in the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, and I imagine that right there is probably the iPhone X super cycle coming off. So I imagine it probably has adjusted for just the iPhone X disappointment right now. Going forward, there's a huge cash return chance, which is keeping investors in for a while. Beyond that, not so sure.
Speaking of super, Alistair Barr, thank you very much. You're super. So are you, Bob O'Donnell. Bob O'Donnell from Technalysis. Alistair Barr is a Bloomberg technology editor. Listen to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Makes me sad, Dave. Dave Wilson with his chart of the day.
Why does it make you sad, Corey?
Is it Paul McCartney?
Indeed, really? It is. Paul McCartney and Wings.
That's Wings. Paul McCartney and Wings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
There you go.
First band.
Chart of the day. What do you got?
It's all about time to hide. I mean, look at what's going on in the stock market and the bond market today. You probably wish you could find a place to hide. And here's an argument that the folks at Pavilion Global Markets laid out. They're looking at the relationship between bond and stock markets, particularly value stocks. You know, shares of those companies relatively cheap when you look at earnings or sales or asset values. Now, they've really taken a beating over the years relative to growth stocks. You know, think about the internet companies, the ones with relatively fast growth rates. You know, back in November, a ratio between the S&P 500's value and growth indexes set a 17-year low, and it came close to going even lower last month. And the latest move presents a bit of a contrast, because what they did at Pavilion was compare this ratio to a volatility gauge developed by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. It's similar to the VIX, but it focuses on Treasury options rather than S&P 500 options. It's called the MOVE, or the Merrill Option Volatility Estimate. And what we've seen there is that, you know, in the last 2 weeks of January, the MOVE was rising at the time the ratio between value and growth was falling. So you had a real contrast. And looking back over the last 3 years or so, they tended to move in tandem. So the way the folks at Pavilion figure it, this is going to resolve itself by value stocks gaining some renewed strength. I mean, they're looking at volatility. They're also looking at Treasury yields, saying rising yields will be pricing a better growth outlook for the U.S., which improves the prospects for value stocks. Let's face it, if the economy's growing across the board and growth you can find anywhere, you'd rather buy it cheaply, and value stocks give you that. If you want to know more, folks, send me an email. I get you the chart, the explanation that goes with it, and everything I do going forward. The email address is dwilson@bloomberg.net. That's dwilson@bloomberg.net.
Yeah, interesting take at looking at the volatility we're seeing in U.S. Treasuries. Dave Wilson, thank you so much, our Bloomberg Stocks editor. All right, big week for the markets, big week for big tech earnings. We're talking about results from Apple, Amazon. We got those last night after the close. Investors, of course, reacting to it all today. Amazon rallying, Apple not so much. Let's get a roundup of what analysts are saying about it all. Taylor Riggs is markets reporter at Bloomberg News in our Bloomberg 1130 studio in New York. So everybody's weighing in, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Amazon especially, do we want to start there? They're still up over 2.5%, even despite this massive sell-off. It's pretty incredible. So with Amazon, you guys know the story has always been a question of margins, and they've been looking for growth and putting that first and then worrying about margins later. And the thesis from the analysts and the sell side reports continues to be that, you know, it'll still be a growth story. We'll still worry about margins later. So Piper Jaffray, for example, raised their price target $16.50 from $14.00, looking sort of an investment story this year in their media, Amazon Web Services, which is their cloud story. Still sort of favoring that. You know, Morgan Stanley had an interesting report out because while they're still looking at the high margin business, they're actually seeing peak margins in retail. Now, as you guys know, retail is a lower margin business. Right. So the fact that they're still able to get
I would
peak
agree with
margins
that.
I
think that's one of the things I noticed about the report is that they really did take a little bit of margin on the retail sales. And this is stuff where they just usually don't look for a profit. In fact,
and
they've often
Whole
run
Foods
this stuff at a little bit of a loss. They would run this at a loss,
yep,
take a profit from Amazon Web Services, sell stuff for less than it costs, just a little bit,
yep,
and keep the volumes up and keep building factories with the cash flow generated from running that business at break even.
Yeah, it was pretty
and
incredible.
Keep us all from continuing to go to Amazon.
Well, and
for
just
everything
get
and
market share first, right? And so, yeah, Morgan Stanley had a really good report that the retail business, even after the acquisition of Whole Foods, they're starting to boost that up a little bit. But still overall a growth story here for the rest of the year.
Should we talk Apple?
Yeah, let's talk about Apple. So I know you guys have talked a little bit about the iPhone cycle. We should know Apple off 4% today. Gene Munster over at Loop Ventures had a report out and saying, you know, don't worry about the slowdown in sales because the revenue per device is climbing. So every time you sell that 10 and you get $1,000, that's actually a boost to their company. And then Michael Walkley, he's over at Canaccord Genuity. He was saying, look for strong earnings per share growth, that's going to continue. And then
that's because they have money where they can do buybacks and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, look, they do have $50 billion in free cash flow. But then also Mac sales. So getting away from the iPhone, in China, 90% of Mac sales laptop were for first-time buyers. So they're also growing over there.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers for Amazon, I mean, or so for Apple, the value per phone just jumped. This, you know, ASP per phone, I think, was up close to 700 this quarter.
Yeah.
Or high 700, almost 800. It's a good, fair point. If you sell some for more, you don't have to sell more of them.
So even though they thought it was a little bit of a miss, hey, the higher price makes up for it.
Yeah, exactly. Shares of Apple, by the way, down 4%. Shares of Amazon are up 3.5%. Taylor Riggs, market reporter at Bloomberg News. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Yeah, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I want to drive.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
Driver age, take a break, we can reach our destination.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
Yes, indeed it is. Bloomberg Radio, Corey Johnson and Carol Mass are here in our 11th VL studios in Midtown Manhattan, watching the market melt a lot today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now down 638 points, 2.4%, 2% on the S&P 500. And watching it all, of course, is Jeff Carbone. He's a managing partner of Cornerstone Financial Partners, and managing $1.2 billion out of Charlotte, North Carolina. A lot of red on your screen, I would imagine, Jeff.
There's a little bit out there, but it is not not very easily found.
A little bit. No, it's like a lot of red.
Yeah. Oh, the green.
There's a lot of that out there. The green. I don't see the. I see the green because I keep most up.
There's you got it. Amazon is we still got LP. You got a few out there that are still showing some positive.
And, yeah. So what do you make of this? What do you make of the sell-off? What do you think it means?
Yeah, you know, the first thing I would say for you, Corey, Carol, and all the listeners to take a breath. Just breathe. You know, these are normal.
That's
cycles.
Not really good radio. I don't think the people driving right now want to hear me.
Well, maybe do I have to breathe?
There you go. At least breathe into the mic. Yeah.
Know, it's been, so I'm going to give you a couple numbers. It's been 3,253 days since we started this bull market and when it came out of the credit crisis. It's also been just about over 2 years since we've seen a real, pullback of about 5% or more. And we're seeing it all today. And more so though this week. So, these are normal cycles that we go through. So we just have to realize it, and we get accustomed to the upward market. And every last year and most of this year, almost every day was a new all-time high. Well, you have to peel back that onion and start to say, okay, there's a lot of good out there. Earnings are good. Economic data, is good. And the tax reform is positive for the markets. You have a still accommodative Fed that's tightening, yes, but at what rate? We'll kind of watch them, but there's still a lot of good economic factors. However, we were looking for a catalyst to maybe give us a little bit of pullback, and right now we're seeing it with the prospects of rising interest rates and inflation creeping its head.
So, okay, what if I'm one of your high net worth individuals, clients, and I call and I say, you know what? You're right. I haven't seen this in a long time, but I feel like the market's starting to come undone. We've certainly seen a lot more volatility. Just take a look at what's happening with rates creeping up and so on. And I don't know. I don't get this. You know, here on a day when we got, fairly upbeat labor news, is it time to say, okay, I've had a nice run on the equity side of my portfolio. It's time to maybe put some money back in cash?
I think there's a couple things there. So when you look at all that's going on, where we are, maybe some of it's going back to economics and, 101 and business 101. You look at where are we in this market cycle? Is the economy still growing? Is inflation still at low levels? Is the employment number still good? And because you mentioned earlier, we had some really good employment, 200,000 job numbers. Wage growth is improving, went up, was revised for December for November, 0.4, came out at 0.3 for January. So the good news became bad news for the market because, again, this is all factors to help say, should the Fed step in sooner and take away the three anticipation, the anticipation of three rate hikes, do we need more, four or five? So for my clients, what I've continued to say, we continue to look at where we are in the cycle. Are there positions and are there companies that are overvalued? Absolutely. And what we've already done, and for a lot of our clients, is really kind of rebalance the portfolio to not where we are, to but for where we think we're going. And we know
so there's
rebalance no crystal
it with
ball.
What? Into what?
Well, so great example. So large growth. What are some of the most overvalued positions out there? Positions in technology, large growth, are certainly some of the areas that have seen some of the greatest and the most growth in this market. So they're starting to show overvaluations. So it doesn't mean you get out of technology totally, because you could still see Amazon and Apple. They have had some. Amazon did well. Apple, not so bad, but a little bit low on their iPhones, and then Alphabet. Certainly, maybe disappointed. So that you get maybe be selective in those areas, but maybe move towards. And I know where I've moved my clients is looking at moving from large down to more medium and smaller size companies. Why? Because they should benefit from tax reform. They also could benefit from the repatriation of assets by having large companies trying to move the needle through M&A activity. So I'm looking to rebalance clients to not where what's happened, but to where we think things are happening. You could also, when I look at the price-earnings ratio for the U.S. market, certainly definitely more overvalued than I see overseas. So I think maybe increasing exposure to international, European, could be even. I know we've also increased our position in emerging markets.
So Jeff, what we're seeing right now maybe is the correction that everybody's been calling for, just quickly?
Yeah. I think could it continue into next week? Absolutely. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's totally going to be over. I think we're going to get that maybe 5-7% pullback.
Okay. How important is what's going on in Washington right now with this memo and concerns about, how much further this goes in terms of FBI and Justice Department officials? Just got about 20 seconds. How does that factor in?
Yeah, well, it's certainly important, but it's a driver today, but I still think the key driver is that labor markets are in good shape, that the inflation is starting to come up. It's still not at the the 2% level, but maybe we're eking closer to 1.8 or higher.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's those key factors. I think Washington, absolutely, that's going to be a catalyst to pull the market back.
Jeff Carbone of Cornerstone Financial Partners. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I feel the earth.
You move like they do. I've never seen anyone move that fast.
All right, people, let's move like we've got a purpose.
That was called Movers and Shakers. They cost a little more, but that name cracked me up.
Bloomberg Markets, Movers and Shakers, with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, everybody, you are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Let's get to some of the movers and shakers. S&P 500, 479 names in the index, lower today, 26 higher. I was putting together some numbers just for the week. Charlie was doing some of them. Charlie Pellett, small cap index, Russell 2000 down 2% for the week. S&P 500 down 3.9% for the week. The NASDAQ down 3.5% for the week. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, a decline of 4.2%, down 1,100 points on the week. And Corey, we really haven't seen that. We've been seeing week after week for those major equity averages higher here in 2018. But this week, a very different tone.
And the biggest company in the world, Apple Computer. Shares are Apple Inc., I should say, no longer Apple Computer. After the iPhone results and guidance were seen as disappointing, although the revenues were higher quite a bit. They sold fewer iPhones than they did a year ago, despite the fact of having this new, fantastic, mega wonderful talking poop emoji, magical iPhone 10, stock was down 4.4% today, a pretty significant decline, given that the market is the largest stock and often controls a lot of the market. But with the S&P down 2.1%, Apple more than twice as bad, down 4.4% in the day.
Looking for something that actually gained today? How about shares of Mattel? They are the number one gainer in the S&P 500 on this Friday. That stock, a gain of 7.9%, up $1.21 to $16.53 a share. Keep in mind, those shares are now up about 7.5%. What's going on? Well, some speculation that some of the changes, the redesign, if you will, and refocus at the company, maybe some of that is starting to pay off, and they're altering the merchandise lineup, exiting smaller brands, axing some products that were still in development, and so refocusing the company on its biggest properties. Still, they have a long way to go, but maybe some of that strategy is paying off. The company's biggest brand posted a 9% gain in sales last quarter, and I think we're talking about probably Barbie there. But nonetheless, in a day where almost everything you could see in the equity markets under pressure, Mattel shares your number one gainer in the S&P 500 rally.
So you're saying Barbie's not under pressure? That's a good
Barbie
thing.
Is just
good
a strong
for her.
Little Chiquita. What can I tell you?
ExxonMobil and Chevron, not so much. Mm. ExxonMobil and Chevron both reporting results, failing to capitalize on the more than 50% rise in oil prices since June. Both stocks taking a big hit. Exxon down 5.1%. Shares of Chevron, even worse, down 5.6%. So you've got two of the biggest oil companies, the majors here, reporting results. Really disappointing. If you look at Chevron, Chevron is trading at 134 this year already. Excuse me.
You okay?
Down. I'm heartbroken for
getting
those
choked up
nice
there, huh?
Folks out there in San Ramon, right near me in San Francisco. But Chevron shares down 5% on the year, 5.3% on the year, 5.6% on the day. Exxon down 5.1%. A bad day to have a bad day, and those two major oil companies had it.
Well, I'm an optimistic kind of gal, so I'm going to talk a little bit about Amazon because 24 hours ago, Corey and I were all over Amazon's breaking quarterly results, and there was, you know, some questions about things and their spend and so on and so forth, but nonetheless, investors liking what they got from Amazon. That stock up 2.9%, up $41, but keep in mind it's closed $1,431 a share, so that's why you're seeing such a big dollar pop there. But again, up 2.9%. What is Amazon doing so far this year? It's up about 22%. And Corey, the big, like their investments just paying off, right? Rising sales, bigger profit is what we saw at the company.
Imagine that.
Go figure.
You know, and add to that with Amazon, of course, Alexa. Just big hit in Alexa, as we've been talking about all day. Really good for them. Company that we don't talk about much, but I want to mention it because it was a big loser. Most active, down 47%.
Ouch.
It's a Seattle-based company that does RFID chips that to help warehouses and stuff know where stuff is. Impinji is the name of the company. Impinji, the chief financial officer, steps down. They announced they've got inventory problems at customers, softness in their inventory volumes at the end within their supply chain. The CFO has been there for 18 years, says he plans to spend more time with his family.
Aww.
And to pursue other opportunities.
That's always good.
Because no one's looking for him to pursue this thing when they can't keep the inventory straight. Stock absolutely collapsing, down, as I mentioned, 47% on the day. And this once $500 million company is now worth $242 million.
All right, not collapsing today. The VIX, in fact, is rallying 27% today, up 3.6 points.
Two?
Closing at 17.13. Ooh. Corey was like obsessed with VIX today. For the week overall, the VIX is up 54%. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Dave, you're up.
Hi, my name is Dave.
Wilson, where are you? Wilson!
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
We're going for a price on Wilson.
Open up the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave!
Hey, Mr. Wilson!
Dave Wilson joins us right now with the stock of the day.
And that would be Varex Imaging, Corey. It's a component maker of products used in medical imaging, cargo screening, and border security. The company was spun off from Varian Medical Systems in January of last year. The ticker is VREX. Now, Varex's shares surged as much as 72% in post-spinoff trading. They started this week by rising to a record. They ended it with their first double-digit percentage loss since the spinoff. Varex's reversal followed disappointing results for the fiscal first quarter. Earnings trailed analysts' average estimate in a Bloomberg survey for the first time. Revenue missed projections by the widest margin yet, more than 9%. Varex said in a statement that the figures reflected falling sales to several customers in the digital detector business. The release said those customers, and I'm quoting, managed inventory levels to better match timing of their shipments to later in the year. Now, whatever the reason, Varex definitely took a hit. The stock closed with a loss of more than 20%.
Ouch. It's big decline on a day when everyone else is seeing. If you thought you lost money today, you should look at these guys, basically.
Absolutely. This is the kind of day, you know, if you think about what's noteworthy, it's the stocks that are up or the stocks that are really taking a hit. Varex falls into the latter category.
Varex Imaging Corporation. Great stuff, David. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Coast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Bloomberg.com.
You can also listen to our radio show weekdays at 2 o'clock Eastern, only on Bloomberg Radio. And follow us on Twitter. She's at Carol Masser, and I'm at Corey TV.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.